Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Thanksgiving was recently celebrated as an American holiday, and our Canadian friends celebrated their Thanksgiving in October. Thanksgiving may be celebrated as secular national holidays, but the roots of Thanksgiving are found within faith. Within our Christian faith is the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of Christ, which brings salvation to all people. First made available to the Jews and then to all people, the righteousness of God is revealed to people through faith. Lack of gratitude or being unthankful for what God has given the people of earth is the beginning of the troubles of mankind. Without giving thanks to God, it became easy for mankind to not give glory to God. The entire world which we see was made by God, who we do not see. And because mankind has rejected giving glory to God and has rejected giving thanks to God, mankind has rejected God. Instead of having a creator after whose image we are made, in man's mind, we are made after our own image and other animals. Instead of being created and made through the love of God, mankind sees itself as nothing more than just another animal on earth. The rejection of God and being unthankful caused mankind to become puffed up in their thinking, with thoughts trending to what is dark and disturbing. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. We have this hope of the kingdom of God, and mankind has a dystopian view of the future where evil abounds, and that dichotomy stems in part from mankind's rejection of God and lack of thanksgiving. Even in the darkest of times, with wars and rumors of wars, we still have this hope of the kingdom of God, and mankind has this dystopian view of the future. Knowing how different we are in perspective than the rest of mankind serves as a reminder of the significance of thanksgiving and gratitude in our life today. Going back to the kingdom of Israel, when the temple was dedicated by King Solomon, that dedication happened with acts of thanksgiving. When the temple was dedicated, it was a huge event, with prominent people from all the tribes of Israel present. As with their religious practices, sheep and oxen were sacrificed, far too many to be counted. The Ark of the Covenant was brought into the Holy of Holies under the wings of the cherubim. Music was played and psalms were sung. And this was all done with thanksgiving. And with thanksgiving, the glory of God filled the temple and was so dense the priest could not stay within the temple. 2 Chronicles 5, verse 1. Thus, all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated. And the silver and the gold and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chiefs of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. And they brought up the ark, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, these did the priests and the Levites bring up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house, and to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out of the staves of the ark, that the ends of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without. And there it is unto this day. There was nothing in the ark, save the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. The thanksgiving seen at the dedication of the temple during the time of Solomon was alive and well when David was king. David, who wrote many of the Psalms, wrote to give thanks to God because God is good with unending mercy. Most of us have a level of mercy, but even with the most merciful among us, our mercy tends to have a beginning and end. God's mercy is unending. It never goes away. Through salvation, we are saved, and because we are saved when others are not saved at this time, we have reason to give thanks. Let's read the words of one of the Psalms of David, recorded for us in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, Save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. It's easy to be thankful when all is going well for us. But how thankful are we when we know others seek our destruction because of our faith? Those who read prophecy understand that the proliferation of others seeking our destruction because of our faith will increase as we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ. And we can look to the historical example of Daniel the prophet, who found himself being set up in a trap of his faith. Daniel was a high-ranking official under Darius, who was one of three presidents who directly talked with the princes of the land to give Darius plausible deniability and to keep him from being overworked. It didn't take long for people to see Daniel as the preferred go-to person. And it didn't take long for Darius to decide to put Daniel solely directly under him in authority. That naturally angered the others who sought to find any method to get rid of Daniel. They did their opposition research and could find no dirt on Daniel by which they could accuse him before Darius. Daniel was spotless. The only thing they knew about Daniel was his faith in God. They plotted to weaponize his faith against Daniel by establishing a decree that whoever petitioned any god, except for Darius, would be tossed in the lion's den. Knowing this, Daniel changed nothing about his routine and continued to pray with windows open towards Jerusalem. And even with all of this potential danger brought about because of his faith, Daniel still gave thanks to God. Daniel 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Moving forward in time to the era of the early church, Paul told the Thessalonians of the need to be patient with all people, never repaying evil for evil, but doing what was good. He then told them to continue with rejoicing, continue with prayers, and to give thanks in everything, as this is the will of God. As we give thanks to God today and rejoice, we do so because we are patient with all people and do what is good instead of repaying evil for evil. Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. the Colossians were reminded that as Christians, they were the elect of God, holy to God and beloved of Him, and just as God is merciful, they needed to have deep mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, tolerating each other, and forgiving each other, and doing all of this through genuine love, not just for a phony show. And that beyond knowing the Word of God and using the words of the Bible, to give thanks to God in everything that was to be done. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. The Colossians were also told that societal status had no bearing on how they should handle themselves. Those with positions of authority within society had the very same responsibilities as everyone else. Those with money and power did not have a free pass to ignore Christian responsibilities, and they were also reminded of the need to remain prayerful and to be thankful in all things. Colossians 4, verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. The Philippians were told to let requests to God to be made known through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. It almost seems counterintuitive because if a request is made through prayer and supplication, it suggests we are lacking something and in need of God's help. And yet we are told to make these requests with thanksgiving. We can be thankful that we have God who listens to our prayers and supplications. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Ephesians were told to redeem the time, because the days are evil, and instead of getting drunk from wine to numb ourselves from the present reality, to give thanks to God for all things while being filled with the Holy Spirit, focusing on psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Psalms has several psalms that have thanksgiving as a theme. In Psalm 95, we are told to make a joyful noise when singing to God and to come before the presence of God with thanksgiving, because God is great and above all gods. Psalm 95, verse 1. Oh, come and let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hand formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. In Psalm 107, we are told to give thanks to God, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. It is through the mercy of God the people of God are redeemed from their enemies, and it is through the mercy of God that the people are delivered from their distresses. If only people today would give thanks to God and praise God. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Jeremiah the prophet writes of a future day when once again the children of Israel will be thankful for what God has done for them as they return to God, and God will be their God. Jeremiah 30, verse 18. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Paul wrote to the Corinthians that thanks be given to God because of the victory he is giving us through Jesus Christ. We may not be as the many who corrupt the word of God, but we do act with sincerity of faith. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. We can be thankful because God is fair with us. If we sow a bountiful spiritual harvest, we will reap a bountiful spiritual harvest. And if we sow a sparingly spiritual harvest, that is what we will reap. We need to do what we do spiritually, not out of a sense of necessity, but as a cheerful giver, so that through Jesus Christ, we can do every good work, including helping those who are less fortunate than we are. Through our blessings, we should easily be grateful, and it is those blessings we have that should give us cause for thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of the service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by the many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Timothy was told by Paul that prayers, supplications, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We pray for others and give thanks for those who are in our life, and also extend that to those who are civilly in authority where we live, so that one day all can come to the knowledge of the truth that is in Jesus Christ, who is the mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Paul reminded the Thessalonians that he remained thankful that they were part of his life, as it was easy for him to see their faith was growing, as was their love for one another. The growth of faith and love between the brethren brought great comfort to Paul and gave them reason to celebrate their spiritual growth, knowing what he saw among the brethren was a small token of the righteousness of God and indicated they would likely be counted worthy to be part of the kingdom of God. He also told them that their spiritual growth made it easy for him to understand that any who troubled them because of their faith would be repaid by God. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in the saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. In all parts of our life, we can give thanks to God, including when we come to the end of our physical life, because we know that as mortal people, we cannot be part of the kingdom of God. We must first become immortal through the gift of eternal life that comes through Jesus Christ. It will be at the last trumpet that those of us who are alive will be changed to immortality, as those who have died in the faith are resurrected to immortal life. It is through Jesus Christ that we will have victory over death. Because we know this victory will be ours as long as we remain faithful and endure to the end, we can give thanks to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, knowing that as long as we remain faithful to the end, what we do today in the faith is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We can be thankful that the promise we have been given is of eternal life and not tied to life as we know it on earth. The children of Israel were given a promise linked to the commandments given at a mountain that we could go visit to this day. And yet the promise we have transcends what is physical as we know of the promise of a new heaven and a new earth. We are called not to be part of Jerusalem of today, but of the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem spoken of in the final chapters of the Bible. While we might live in huge cities surrounded by many others who are not of the faith, we are called to be part of a spiritual body that will be the family of God and will one day be surrounded by so many angels we won't be able to count them. We will be part of the firstborn because of God the Father and because of Jesus, who is the mediator of the new covenant, whose shed blood gives us this incredible opportunity, knowing that between now and this future time will be incredible prophetic events. For all of this, we can give thanks with an attitude of thanksgiving. Hebrews 12, verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice that they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. This hope of eternal life is a reason for us to offer thanks with an attitude of thanksgiving, because we know any hardship we face today will not compare to the glory that will one day be revealed in us, knowing we are waiting to be revealed as the children of God, children of God who are not recognized by this world as children of God, but children of God who have this hope in this future reality. The physical life we live now may not be an easy life, and it may be challenging for us to, at times, to hang on. But we must hang on and never give up on the faith, knowing that this hope of eternal life as the children of God will be revealed in us. If we never give up on this hope, we will never give up on the faith, and we will be born of the Spirit as the children of God. And then all who ever doubted will very quickly believe. We might feel all alone at times, sensing like Daniel felt, that this world seems against us. But when God is for us, it just doesn't matter who's against us, even if they succeed in bringing physical harm to us, because nothing, absolutely nothing, will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. And for that, we can offer thanksgiving. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The world in which we live is by and far very unthankful for all that God has done, and this world is paying the price for its lack of gratitude. We are called out of this world, and we are called to a place where thanksgiving is a normal part of our life. We may enjoy secular holidays like Thanksgiving, but the Thanksgiving that is of importance to us is the Thanksgiving we have for Jesus Christ, who died so that we can have a mediator of the new covenant and this hope of eternal life, and for God the Father, who for as long as we remain faithful is for us and will see the good work that he started to its conclusion of eternal life. And we know nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. We have much to be thankful for. We have much to be grateful for all that we have and will one day have. Thanksgiving should be a perpetual part of who we are. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.